So the next day we went home, and that was 8 miles more, and the roads were terrible. Boy, were we ever glad when we got on the old farm. We had too much stuff on that wagon. I don't know how many sacks of apples we had. All that. I think, was that fall we lost one of the horses? I don't remember now. Memory's getting shorter and shorter.
What? How'd you lose
one? Oh, it just got sick and I don't know what was. Well, it was a pretty old horse too, I suppose. It had lived its life. And then I think it was that winter when we had such a hard winter. We had to haul hay on a little sled. Horses couldn't make it. Oh my God, that was awful. Well, that's too sad to talk about that.
Did you haul it by hand, you're saying?
Well, we had to haul it from across our meadow because it was water. It just began to break in the spring, you know. And it's, you know, the snow is crust on top, and then underneath be water and slush, and the horses would fall in here and there and jumping. And so we'd haul on a little sled, a couple of bales or so, and in the morning, early morning, when there was a good crust on, we could haul it. Or to feed the stock. And that was during the First World War when my brother Alfred, he was away then. But Emil, he had to take over then. Of course, my dad wasn't home then. He was gone.
When did you... after you, you know, finished what school you had, then you, did you start working out right away?
Yeah, we started, then we, after that, why, we got into logging camps, see, we, on the Shea Meadows, and then from there.
Well, why don't you stop right there and tell me some more about, you know, about what it was like to cook for that. You know, what your job was and stuff?
Well, it was kind of a hard job. We didn't have much to work with. That was worst of it. The camp was new, and they had, old tables, bunk tables, or I don't know what you call them, just long tables, you know, with benches. And I don't know, it seemed like it was so hard to cook, and just a little old, seemed like it was a little old stove they had in there. It was a Lang, but it was a small stove for the crew. And I know we had a lot of milk at home at that time, so when I'd go home, I'd bring a lot of sour milk, so we'd make sour milk hotcakes, you know, in the mornings. We'd make hotcakes and bacon and eggs and hash brown potatoes and toast and all kinds of cereal. They have to have everything, you know, the lumberjacks. But it was kind of funny too. The boss, you know, he was kind of... Maybe now we got acquainted a couple of... Well, they were nice young fellas. They wanted to take us to a show in Beauville, and so May and I, we thought, well, that's all right, we'll go to the show. And when we came back that night, the boss was kind of behind us. He had his car. We drove in they had a pretty nice little car to drive in. I think they had some Ford or something. And this guy, he had a pretty nice car driving, and he'd sneak up behind. And we got through the gate. There was a barbed wire fence, and then they had a gate there. And when we went through, one of the boys closed the gate, and this other guy, he didn't bother about opening the gate to go through. His boss, he went on through and tore the gate all to the dickens. And the next morning, he said, use girls. Use, you're not going to be chasing around. Or we're going to let you go. And he told my brother about it too. He said, I don't want the girls to be going out with any boys. We thought, well, it was none of his business. We was doing our work. We wanted to go out, we'd go out. So about, oh, I don't know, must have been about a week after that, why the boss got his walking shoes. It was so funny. He got canned. The superintendent, he come up there and canned him because he was drinking on the job. He liked his liquor pretty well. So after that, we was there about a week or two after he got canned, why then they laid us off, this, the cook and May and I, and they made a bigger camp out of it, and then they put in men, flunkies and cooks, a cook. I can't remember what year. Anyway, we was home for a while. I guess it was the next year when the superintendent came over and he said, would you girls like to go to work? And we said, yes, waitress.
Now, was this T.P. Jones came over?
No, this Mr. T.P. Jones was out of it then, Mr. Noggle. He was the superintendent of the woods then. So he came over.
He came out personally.
Yeah, he did. He came out there with a horse and buggy. Or did he have his car then? Well, I think he had the horse and buggy, and then he took us to Bowville, and then we took the car. No, I might be wrong on that, but anyway. So we said, yes, we'd like to go to work. Mother didn't like to have us go, but... So we got our clothes, what little duds we had, high-top shoes and all. We went down to Princeton, down to Camp One. Got down there and they had a big, fat German cook. His name was Herman. So the next morning we went to work for this guy. We stayed with the boss's family until they got a shack fixed for us, one of those Marion shacks. Two rooms in it. Of course, they had to wash it out. They steamed it out with the engine some way. They put the hose in there and got all the bugs out of it, I guess. Wasn't any bugs when we moved in anyway. Bed bugs. So, anyhow, the girl that was working there, maybe I shouldn't tell this. If she ever have it read, well, she'd know it was her.
Well, I don't know if she's the only one. Doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
Anyway, we kind of took her place. And,
your job there?
Huh?
What were your jobs there?
Waiting table. Waiting table, peeling potatoes, scrubbing the floors, washing the dishes, just about everything we had to do, frosting the cakes for the cook. He was a great big fat cook, German. My little ones, he said. All is my little ones. So that went on. Oh, let's see, how long did we work down there? Well, several months anyway. Anyway, this cook, he was giving away stuff to some friends. There were some other German people lived up there. And they caught him, I guess. And they let him go. Well, in the meantime, they got another cook that didn't want women flunkies. So then they said, would you like to go up to Shea Meadows? That's where we first started. They built that camp up real big. Then they had horses and barns and bunkhouses and everything there. So, of course, we couldn't say no. We wanted the job. And it was only about a mile and a half from our place, and that was a nice place. The bees, so there's where I met my husband.
So he was the cook there?
He was the cook there, he and his brother. So they said they needed a couple flunkies up there, so straw boss, I guess you call him, or the assistant superintendent, Walt Pierce, he met us at the train at Helmer and took us on up to the camp. And there's where we met Al and Charlie, his brother. And we worked there, and that was nice there because we could go home every once in a while. It was only, you know, in the evenings when we got through with our work, we'd walk home and see how everybody was. And same in the wintertime, we worked there, I don't know, for a year or two. And then
could you compare sort of the way the different, is there any difference between the way the different cooks cooked?
Oh yeah.
Flunkied for?
Oh yes, there is a lot of difference. Some cooks are sloppy cooks, just like this one that was down at that German cook. There was so darn many flies in that place down there at Princeton. That was Camp One. And he had raisins in his cupcakes. You didn't know whether it was flies or raisins. He'd be stirring away. You know, the cook usually used their hands them days because they didn't have any machines to stir with. And they'd stir away there. We didn't dare to eat any cupcakes. But he had nice cakes. He had beautiful cakes. Fine grain, you know. And all from scratch, too, not like they have nowadays. Well, Al was a good cook, too. He was one of the best cooks. That's what he's got a name for, anyway. He's one of the best cooks the Potlatch ever had. So,
it was his reputation for anything, was there anything particularly special about your husband's cooking?
Well, his cooking was more like home cooking. I mean, it didn't, you know, it was, well, I don't know. His food was good and clean. He always had, whatever he prepared was always good. He could take a tough piece of steak and he could make a tender steak out of it. You know, he cut his own meat and everything. And some of those cooks didn't care how they cut it. But old Herman Byers, he was a pretty good cook, all right, but he was a sloppy cook. You know, some are sloppy. They're kind of dirty cooks. Where's your food? And he was awful fussy. Anybody talking in the dining room, he had a gun up on top shelf where he had his dishes. And anybody get smart, I guess, I don't know if he'd use it or not, but he kept it up there anyway, a revolver. Well, I didn't tell you about when we were working down at Princeton, we'd go out, to dances, you know. And we'd sneak out because the cook, he didn't want us, he was another one that didn't want us to go out at all. No, sir. So the bull cook, you know what a bull cook, he is the guy that comes and builds fires, carries the wood and all that, water. He'd come into our, well, we call it the shack. He usually comes in there in the morning early and build a roaring fire. You could see this fire come clear out of the chimney. Anyway, this particular, I guess it was Saturday night, we went to the dance down at Kennedy Ford. That's pretty close to Palouse. And we got home about, I imagine about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so May and I come in to work, and the bull cook says, "Well, girl," she says, "did you have a good time last night?" The cook heard it. Whew, was he mad? He says, "What are you little ones?" He says, "Where are you? Did you go to the dance last night?" We said, "Yes." And he wouldn't talk to us. He was pouting. So he was mad, and he had his bunk right alongside our dining room there. So when he took his afternoon off, well, May and I finished up, so we thought, well, little guy, we're going to have some fun. So we set the alarm clock and put it by his door and went over to our shack. Let it ring. Kind of mean. He was mad, he wouldn't even talk to us. Made him madder yet. He thought he owned me, I guess.
Is that why some of the cooks didn't want women flunkies, because they figured they'd fool around with the men?
I think so, or the cooks would get jealous and they wouldn't, you know. Most of them. Well, that's quite a few didn't want women cooks or women flunkies. There was another guy up, his name was Bert Clark. Some of them wanted women flunkies because they said the women was cleaner, but some didn't. Of course, Albert, he'd rather have women flunkies because he said they'd keep things up much better than the men. Scrubbing floors and all your dishes and all that.
How often did you scrub the floors?
We scrub once a week with a broom. Pour the water on it. Brush it out the door. It's just as white as could be. Use a lot of soap and maybe some lye in it too sometimes. Albert, he wanted me to cut hot bread. He always liked to have hot bread, you know, out of the oven practically. You know how hard that is to cut? Mm-hmm. Because he always had good sharp knives. And I says, I'm not going to cut that bread too darn hard. So he got mad and he came over there and he just sliced that bread. Boy, we had hot bread on the table. That's before I married, of course. Yeah. That was a different song then. I got to be boss. Yeah.
Did you keep working in the camps?
I worked for a while, and of course, about a year and 2 months or 3 months, Biddy was born, so. Well, I worked off and on to relieve, like second cooks or something like that.
You mean to give them
some logs that they made those bunkhouses and kitchen and all that. They had, in them days, they just had men cooks and flunkies. I think my brother flunkied for a while. I can't remember if it was there or another camp, but anyway, I believe it was Moose Creek. And they used to have separate tables for the Italians, because they shipped them in from Italy, and they said they didn't know they'd eat with their in the butter and all that with their fingers. I guess they didn't use their knives. I don't know, I suppose, know how to eat or something. They had a bunch of those. I don't know, other nationality. But they had them separate tables for them. Then you used to talk about, what the heck did they call that? Oh, I can't think of it. Snipe hunting at night.
What's that?
It's silly. They'd take a guy out in the woods. That's their fun, you know, they'd have in the logging camps years ago. They'd say, well, we got to go snipe hunting. You take the lantern and hold a gunny sack And then we'll go around and chase the snipe into the sack, see?
What's a snipe?
It's just supposed to be a bird, I guess. So the guy'd be standing there all night, holding a lantern and holding a sack. And the guys go home and go to bed. That's snipe hunting.
Who would fall for that?
Oh, a lot of those greenhorns that come to, you know, the camps. Just like we used to say in the logging camp, you know, Albert used to use that an awful lot. Some new girl would come in and go to work, you know, he said, will you bring me the vanilla bar? And they'd wonder, what in the world is a vanilla bar? Well, he says, in there, you bring me the vanilla bar, and they begin to laugh. Of course, there's nothing to it. They're just trying to have some fun. Oh, gosh, crazy things. When we lived up at Elk River in the logging camps up there, why, that's when Betty was about 4 years old. Anyway, he had two flunkies there. One girl, she was real cute, Paulson girls. One of them lives in Lewiston now, Dorothy. But anyway, they were always fooling with Albert either putting peppered on his neck or something, you know. They're scuffling, always a scuffling around. So this Mildred, she walks up behind him and takes the salt pepper, shake it down his neck. So he had some eggs. He was working there making a cake or something. He took an egg and he said he just put it on her head and just rubbed it in real good. Oh, she was so mad. She had to go wash her hair, and it was dinner time just practically, you know. She had to go wash her hair, and she wouldn't talk to him for several days. The whole egg, can you imagine what that'd be? Oh, what a mess. Oh, we used to have so much fun in camp, though. One time the boss, they had a little creek running across there from the warehouse to the kitchen. Little bridge there, you know. Here come the boss, and I was standing there, and he come up and he talked to me, you know, and I had my back, no railing or nothing, you know, standing like here, and the creek was down here. He politely gave me a push, and I went in there, and boy, I was all wet, so I reached up and I got him by the legs, and I pulled him clear into that water. I'm telling you, he got wet. I thought, well, if I get wet, you're going to get wet too. Oh, he says, my watch, my watch. I don't care about your watch. How about me getting all wet? Oh, that was fun. We'd have water fights. And this kid that used to be a clerk there, call him a kid. He's about 63 now, I guess. He seemed like a kid to me. Anyway, he was a clerk there, and he'd always teased Betty, you know. Betty was little, and she said, I'll tell my dad on you. I'll tell my dad, she says, if you don't quit teasing me. So we got to scuffling around there, and May and I, we got a hold of him, so we tore his shirt clear off, threw him into the water. He's kind of a little guy. Quite a character.
Would you get to know the lumberjacks that worked? Yeah.
We're all nice guys. Hmm? Always talking about the lumberjacks being so rough, but they're not. They respected the person. They respected women. They'd all fight for us, boy. Anybody said any, made any remarks about us, boy, they... I know. So that one time they said, gee, she's getting so darn fat, she's about two axe handles broad. And I guess one guy, he said, now listen, he said, you're not going to talk about the girls like that. Ready for a fight. the main eye thought we was reducing instead of that we was gaining. That was Albert and his brother's trick too. We said, well, we gotta go on a diet, we're getting too fat. So they had one of those big scales, you know, you stand on like they have for hay and all that, and move them livers. Well, every morning, Charlie drill out a little bit there, make it look like we're losing weight. And we got the right weight on there, boy, I tell you, we'd gained. That's why we were so broad, I guess. That was fun. Yeah, we had quite a time. Betty used to fight for her dad. The girls would pick on him. Boy, she'd pick up a stick or anything. She'd hit him. She didn't dare to fight, you know, scuffle. They start scuffling with him. Boy, she was right there. That little kid, I can just see her yet, how she'd walking along there, you know, and she'd, you leave my daddy alone. She says she can still remember that. Girls would be scuffling around, they'd pick on him, you know.
Was it largely the you know, like the cooks and the clerks and the people that, you know, sort of were centered in the camps that would get to know each other?
Or, oh, yeah. You know, yeah, the most, it was the boss and the cooks and the flunkies and the clerks and the barn boss. He usually come in and have coffee and cookies. It'd be eaten all day there if you had it. They'd come in and have coffee breaks every once in a while. Coffee is on the stove all the time, coffee pot.
Do those meals have to be ready right on time?
Right on time. 6 o'clock in the morning. We rang the bell at 5:30, everybody's up. And then you ring the second bell and that was breakfast. And they get in there and eat. And they eat about, some of them eat in about 5 minutes, I think. Up and gone. Gee, I don't know how they ever put the food away that fast, anyway.
I've heard that from other people. I don't understand. You know, how come they ate so fast? Oh, were they pressured to eat fast? Or?
No, they didn't go to work till 7 o'clock. But they'd. Well, I guess they're always in a hurry. Some of them were gypplers too, you know, and the sooner they got out there, the quicker, the more money they made. That's by the whatever they worked at, lumber, I mean the logs. And out in the woods they go. Start cutting trees, of course.
Would you fix, would all the men make it back in for, you know, dinner at noon?
No, they took lunch. They did put up lunch for them for a while, but then they let them put up their own because some of them wanted this and some wanted that. Some wanted 3 sandwiches, some wanted 2 sandwiches, and they didn't want cheese, and some wanted that. So they said, let them put them up themselves. And they had a long table with all kinds of food on, cookies, donuts, cakes, pies. All that was on there, and they could take what they want. They even had salt pork. Albert boiled salt pork. A lot of them old guys make sandwiches out of salt pork, especially the Swedish people. They like it. And they have ham and beef and pork and salt pork. If there's any bacon left from breakfast, they'd stick that on the table. Keep coffee on there and let them fix their own thermos bottles. And then they always took so much stuff and then they'd feed the bears or the animals outside. Boy, there's a lot of waste. Terrible. and eat. Then they'd come in starved at night. Lumberjacks come a plowing in there. Then the girls would be filling up the dishes. Go in and look it over, and they see an empty dish, come back, and they'd fill her up.
You served them? And they didn't just have big plates?
Big plates, just family. I mean, it's family style. But you had to see that everything was filled, you know, like potatoes and gravy and meat. In the mornings it'd be hot cakes, you'd be running with the hot cakes plates.
So they'd have a big hot meal in the evening.
Oh yes, yeah, they'd have steak, or usually have steak, pork chops, hamburger steaks, and just liver, fish, fries usually, and cut up I don't know how many fish. He'd have to cut his own fish, come in big hunks, you know, regular whole fish.
What kind of stove would they?
Well, they had big Lang. They had three ovens. Three oven stoves. Albert had bread going in the oven by the time they had breakfast going, too. Or pies coming out or going in. They try to get all their baking done before in the morning, besides getting up to dinner. Maybe they wouldn't have too big a crew coming in for dinner, like, you know, to be the ones that's close in. Baked about 100 loaves of bread, buns, donuts.
How often would that be?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day. Raised donuts, Bismarcks, maple bars. Gosh, I used to fix the maples, you know, put the frosting on. And then bake cakes. Sheets, they used to make the cakes in sheets, unless they had a smaller crew, then they'd make layer cakes. White cakes, chocolate cakes, pies, berry pies, apples, custards, pumpkin. Roast great big pans of meat. In the morning have boiled eggs, some mornings boiled eggs and scrambled eggs, fried eggs.
All of them?
Not at all. Well, each morning in different mornings they'd have. And hotcakes, always had hotcakes. And toast, hash brown potatoes, that's for breakfast. Cereal, hot cereal, besides the cold cereal. So it's quite a deal. We had fun though in camp. I don't know. I like that life up there in the woods. I love the woods. We were at Huckleberry in here. Sunday it was. And it was so nice and peaceful up there. And you can sit there and pick berries and relax. And you like pick berries?
Yeah, we took one day.
Oh, did you?
Last week and went Huckleberry.
Where'd you go?
Up by Bald Mountain.
Oh, did you get some good ones?
We got plenty for our needs. Yeah, made 15 pints of jam.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sold quite a few berries. I'm going to Schweitzer Friday evening. A friend of mine that has a condominium up there, and we're going up there and stay till Sunday.